Look, I don't know about anybody else, but as long as I'm going to be promoting this fight myself, I want a lot more pressure put on for a rematch.
Hey, you can get the same money from two top contenders. Why go after Balboa? Why?
Because there's still a lot of people out there that think he won. There's a lot of people out there accusing me of having the fight fixed, accusing me of being a fake and insulting my kids at school. That's why.
You want to hear the truth?
Yeah, I want to hear the truth.
The truth is that last time he was damn lucky. Now he's all finished. I mean, he's been hanging around doing nothing for 6 months. And any trainer worth anything wouldn't have nothing to do with it. Now I say, let's go after some new meat. Forget this bum.
You think I beat him the last time? Do you?
You got the decision.
Man, I won, but I didn't beat him.
What are you afraid of, Tony?
Honest?
Yeah, honest.
He's all wrong for us, baby. I saw you beat that man like I never saw no man get beat before. And the man kept coming after you. We don't need that kind of man in our life. I know what you're feeling. Let it go.
Look, you're in charge of my public relations, right? I want a whole new campaign started. I want something done publicly to bring this man out. I want something done to jar this man's pride. I want something done to get the people around him talking, all right?
You realize if we use this humiliation tactic, you're setting yourself up as the bad guy.
Look, man, whatever gets him in the ring.
Yeah, whatever gets him in the ring. I tell you, man, Carl Weathers played that part so perfectly. In the first two movies, he was the perfect villain, modeled himself after Muhammad Ali, and did it pretty damn good. I don't know if Muhammad Ali was ever as business savvy, as Apollo was. The first two movies played the perfect villain. And in the third one, he's the reason Rocky was able to beat Clubber. It was a great character. I mean, those first three movies were pretty solid. The fourth one got a little corny. I can't see an American underdog coming over, and even if he beat the shit out of a giant Russian, the whole crowd being like, Rocky, Rocky, at the end of it. I don't think that would... Hey, yo, I've seen a lot of changing, Wait, hold on, let me turn down Elton John. Hey, yo, I've seen a lot of changing going on. That wouldn't happen. I tell you, and five sucked, and all the ones, I didn't like it. Anything after three, it started going downhill. But Carl Weathers played that part perfectly, based on a real fight, based on the Muhammad Ali versus Chuck Wepner fight. And if you've never seen that, folks, go to YouTube and just search that. I mean, this guy, this is where Rocky got the story from. Stallone, he said he saw this fight, and he came up with the script because this guy just took... I mean, Ali, he just jabbed him pretty much the whole night. Like he did to Kenny Patterson on purpose for not calling him Muhammad Ali. Patterson couldn't even take it. This guy just sat there and took it. And, yeah, his face looked like hamburger by the end of it. I never knew it was a true story until, probably about maybe 15, 20 years ago. But I went a while not knowing that this was based on a real fight. The Rocky movies were kick-ass. Carl Weathers was fantastic, fantastic in them. And he was also great in Predator. I know I usually do the celebrity stuff at the end, but since I got the intro here that coincided, I mean, I made that intro like over a year ago. I still got a bunch of intros I haven't played yet, folks, like a year's worth. And I already got 5 years worth in the bank that I have played. But since I played it, we'll do the Carl Weathers tribute first.
He made Rocky, Rocky.
What's the matter with you?
Tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow.
He made Happy, Happy.
Golf's no different from hockey. Requires talent, self-discipline.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was... I hate Adam Sandler. I hardly ever watched any of his fucking movies, so I didn't remember.
Carl Weathers, the man who brought the motivation and the muscle to the big screen for more than 50 years.
Yeah, that guy had like a perfect body. I mean, you talk about not too big, not too small, still be bad. That guy had a perfect fucking body.
Born in New Orleans in 1948, Weathers started his professional career in the NFL.
Yeah.
Playing for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders, man. man. Fucking 1970, they went to the playoffs and everything. He was a linebacker.
Helping them win the AFC West division title in 1970. Yeah. He made the switch to acting, appearing in TV shows like Starsky and Hutch and Barnaby Jones throughout the 70s.
Oh, my God. See, I don't remember him in any of those, but my dad used to watch Starsky and Hutch. We used to watch Barnaby Jones. The whole family would watch Barnaby Jones. Man, all these fucking shows, man. I tell you, when you hear those names, like when I was editing this shit earlier in the week, I'm like, oh, it takes me back instantly to sitting in my living room with my family around me, Barnaby Jones and the red letters and all that coming at you. It's really, nostalgia just has a hold of me.
But it was Rocky that made him a star.
This is what I'm looking for. The Italian Stallion.
During his audition, Weathers read with Sylvester Stallone and wasn't impressed, telling producers, I could do a lot better if you got me a real actor to work with.
Yeah, because Stallone wasn't a professional actor. That was the only reason Rocky, I mean, they said, yeah, we want to buy your script and we want to make this a new movie. He said, the only way that I'm selling you the rights to the script is if I get to play Rocky. And, you know, he wasn't that great of a, still isn't that great of an actor, Stallone. You know, I mean, he played the Rocky part good, big dumb brute. You know, Rambo hardly spoke. I mean, I don't know. He's not that great of an actor. Carl Weathers is a much better actor.
The team and Sly himself said it was exactly what Apollo Creed would do. And the rest is history. He'd star in blockbusters in the decades that followed, like Predator in 1987 opposite Arnold Schwarzenegger, Happy Gilmore in 1996. Adam Sandler remembering Carl in a post writing, a true great man, great dad, great actor, great athlete. So much fun to be around always. He'd go on to voice combat Carl in the Toy Story franchise.
Yeah, see, I never saw any of the Toy Story movies, so I had no idea.
There's a birthday party at the playground on Main Street.
And his work in The Mandalorian earned him an Emmy nomination in 2021.
Yeah, now that's a good role too, man. Hey, Mando, he's fucking great in The Mandalorian. That's a great show.
Weathers, a cultural mainstay, still on TV now, in a Super Bowl commercial for FanDuel.
You ready to do this?
The beloved father and grandfather.
So we're going to see him during the Super Bowl. That's going to be a little eerie.
Passing away in his sleep on Thursday, his family saying in a statement, Carl was an exceptional human being who lived an extraordinary life. Through his contributions to film, television, the arts, and sports, he has left an indelible mark and is recognized worldwide and across generations.
Yeah.
Carl Weathers was 76 years old.
Yeah, I tell you, man, what a great life he fucking had. Start out playing, I mean, you know, sports and then into acting and then... But I tell you, that role was just iconic from 76 to 83. You know, Apollo was the icon of Hollywood and acting and all that stuff. And then Predator. He was great in Predator, too, man. I mean, he played a Dylan. He played a great fucking part in that movie. Gave his own life to face the Predator, you see. His characters were always like that, just like the intro. You know, the manager's like, hey, this guy, he's practically saying to him, no, you didn't win. You know you didn't beat him, and you might lose to him if you fight him again. And he's like, fuck that. I ain't going after the top two contenders. I'm going after the guy who just showed me up, you know, and we got to prove. And he eventually loses the title, but I believe it was the right thing to do. So anyway, Carl Weathers, awesome actor. Rest in peace if there is such a thing. And if there is such a thing, someone who deserves to rest in squalor is that little Ethan Crumbly asshole and his stupid fucking parents, okay? Because, you know, again, a skinny, ugly little dork who can't get laid is going to shoot up the whole fucking school. I mean, I'll give this kid a little credit. At least he cried out for help. I mean... a few times, okay, but still, just kill yourself. You don't take everybody with you. You lose me at that part. But these parents, oh my God, this fucking mother, and I can't wait to see what happens with the father. You know, but she has been convicted of involuntary manslaughter, and good. I tell you what, this verdict has probably sent chills down the spine of many a parent in this country who have fucked up kids. That, you know, either the ones that can't reach them or the ones that just don't give a fuck anyway, because it don't matter. You know, now, if you're held responsible, this will step up the parenting. Okay, this will actually make you parent to a certain degree in one aspect so the kid doesn't grow up to be a mass murderer. Okay, but yeah, we need that. Parents, I use that term loosely these days because a whole shit ton of them are just children having children. They need parental lessons. So if a couple years in jail is your lesson, so be it.
Tonight in Michigan, that historic verdict.
We find the defendant guilty of involuntary manslaughter.
Jennifer Crumbly guilty of those four counts of involuntary manslaughter.
Good.
One for each of the students her son murdered at Oxford High School in 2021. She is the first parent in the U.S. ever held criminally liable for their child's school shooting.
And you know, I know that there's an argument to this, like, oh my God, some parents are so cool and some kids are just so fucked up that there's no, well, fine, then just take the steps. Do it on paper, okay? Show them that you tried to do everything and the kid's just an out-of-control fucking mess, a bad seed, whatever. But when you sit there and encourage this, buy him the guns. Know that he's mentally fucked up and ignore it. That every time, all these things that these trailer trash parents did, just despicable.
The jury, comprised of six men, six women, some parents, some gun owners, deliberating for 11 Good. Hours over 2 days, determining Crumbly.
I can't believe it took them that long. When it got into the second day, I'm like, they ain't going to convict her. Because I thought, you know, if shit like this doesn't go quick, then it's probably not going to work. But I got pleasantly surprised.
Failed in her duty as a parent, ignoring the signs of her son's deteriorating mental health and gifting him the gun he used in the shooting.
Oh, Jesus.
You stupid fucking cunt. You idiot.
Ignoring the signs of mental health. Okay, so let's say you're a shitty parent from the onset and you just ignore signs of mental health. Just pretend like they're not there. Fine. But then, I mean, you heard him, right? You saw the signs, right? Then you give him a fucking gun? What the hell is wrong with you?
The defense argued it was her husband James's responsibility to secure the weapon.
Oh.
But the jury foreperson saying after the verdict, the thing that really hammered it home is that she was the last adult with the gun.
Oh, she was the last adult. And look at this now. See, in true trailer trash fashion, she's trying to blame it on her husband. They've obviously separated now from being a united stupid-ass front. But yeah, she's trying to blame it on her. Oh, no, it's his responsibility. She was the last one with the gun. She was the last one with the fucking gun.
Prosecutor showing this video in court, Crumbly taking her son to the firing range.
You're the last adult.
Yeah, they probably had a blast, too. Took him out to eat afterwards, maybe. And what an idiot.
They have possession of that gun.
That's correct.
The shooter bringing that 9mm handgun to school just 3 days later. And even that morning, prosecutor said Crumbly had the chance to stop the shooting. Called in for that meeting with her son's counselor,
uh-huh.
The school concerned about what was written on his math assignment.
And she doesn't mention the gun. She doesn't mention any of his men. She doesn't mention anything.
Crumbly never telling the school to look for a gun. The shooter opening fire hours later. Today, Crumbly sitting motionless, eyes down as the verdict was read, quickly escorted away in handcuffs. The judge thanking the jury.
We all know that this is one of the hardest things you've ever done.
Prosecutors shaking hands and hugging the families of the victims. And tonight, Craig Schilling, whose son Justin was killed, with this message to Jennifer Crumbly.
You wouldn't have to go through any of this if you would have just done your job as a parent.
Yep.
So.
And I hope she gets the living shit knocked out of her in prison.
You had a chance to do it, and you didn't. And now... It's
yeah, you know, it'd be bad enough if you were a parent, so-called parent, and this came out of nowhere. Okay, and you're like, oh my God, I must have really failed. I had no idea. This chick had every fucking red flag waved in her stupid, ugly face. Both of them, her and her husband, and they did nothing.
Jennifer Crumbly's sentencing is now set for April, and her husband James will stand trial in March. This is really a landmark moment for parents, given what this jury decided, that a parent can be held responsible for a child school shooting.
Good, 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 good. That's what I say. So, especially in a case like this. Okay, like I said, there will be cases where there's just a bad seed. But with something like this, you got to do it. What else are you going to do? Okay, so we go from a skinny, ugly little scumbag to a fat, ugly little fucking scumbag, this serial swatter. Okay, you know what? And in my mind, this fucking kid right here, worse than the school shooter, in my opinion, he is. Okay, because he sits there anonymously behind a keyboard and fucks with people's lives just for the fun of it. Okay, just for the fun of it. These little sick motherfuckers have fun causing as much disruption and chaos and possibly, you know, the result of people resulting in death. You know, this swatting shit. This little fat shit fucking, he must have called in what they said, I think 160 swats on people all over the country. I mean, what kind of life is this? What kind of life is this?
Useless scum lapping shitbag.
Oh, fucking A.
It's a quiet street in Lancaster, but what police say happened inside this home sent a ripple of terror.
Yeah, quiet street in Lancaster, California. Normal little suburb here, and this the shithead is this is how he spends his so-called life.
Across the nation.
I'm going to commit a mass shooting in the name of Satan.
It's called swatting. Ugh. A fake call to 911 claiming to be an active shooter.
And you know what? I even have more respect for the swatters who like I don't know, some people do this like they get in online arguments with people like while they're playing Call of Duty or whatever. You know, hey, at least it's personal. At least you got into an argument with somebody. At the very least, you know, you can say that this kid just does this for no reason. These people, he doesn't know them. He's got no problems with them. It seems to be mostly religious, government, whatever. But he just does, again, for fun.
It brings out a large response from law enforcement, and police say this teenager did it from his father's home on Antdale Avenue.
I have an illegally modified full auto AR-15.
The now 17-year-old is charged with 3 felonies in Seminole County, God. Florida, appearing before...
I still live in Seminole County.
...a judge charged as an adult on Wednesday.
Planning a bomb, explosive, or use of a weapon.
All of this stemming from an incident in Sanford, Florida, back in May, when investigators say then-16-year-old Alan Fillion called 911, saying he was going to commit a shooting inside a mosque. But when police arrived, they found no evidence of a threat at all. And court.
What do these assholes get out of this? Okay, I sit here and try and analyze this, the mindset of this dork. And I mean, what? Power because you made everyone afraid with a phone call? I mean, is that because you have no... obviously no power or worth or self-worth or self-respect or shame or anything going on in your life. So this is like how you be somebody, you become a man by doing this. I do not understand this mindset.
Documents say Fillion is a serial swatter responsible for hundreds of swatting and bomb threat incidents throughout the United States.
And I can't believe that not a single person was ever killed. I mean, sometimes in these swatting incidents, you know, people get killed. I can't believe nobody was hurt or injured. Damn lucky. I mean, I hope they see this motherfucker should be in jail for the rest of his life. I mean, you sit there and you talk about punishment fitting the crime and stuff, but when you've got to look deeper sometimes when it comes to intent, okay? Intent. Like that Ethan Crumbly kid, obviously, okay, he's not just a stupid little asshole. He's mentally fucked up for whatever reason. Probably his chromosomes from the genes he inherited from those two idiots. But, you know, when you've got a regular, normal person like this from the suburbs fucking just does this for sheer entertainment for himself, not giving a shit about anybody's lives that could be affected or ended, that to me deserves life in prison. You're fucked in the head. You don't deserve to be in this society.
Including high schools, historical black colleges, mosques, government buildings, even military bases and the Pentagon.
You are there now?
Are you kidding?
I'm inside my car.
Military bases in the Pentagon? This fucking little dickhead should be in Guantanamo.
Police say he was actually here. Neighbors didn't want to speak on camera, but described Fillion as a polite kid who lived with his father. They say he's taking advanced classes, highly intelligent, and had dreams.
Oh, yeah, he's a fucking genius.
...of going to Berkeley. They say he kept to himself, didn't appear to have many friends, but they never expected him to be caught up with anything. Like this.
Yeah. I'm walking in now, and I'm gonna kill everyone I see.
Fillion is...
what a fucking nut.
...currently in a Florida jail being held...
And you know, I shouldn't say that, because he's not a nut. He's not mentally ill. He's just a fucking jerk-off.
...without bond, his arraignment is scheduled for March.
Good.
In Lancaster, I'm Joy Benedict, KCAL News.
I'm glad he's being held without bond, at least. Fucking A. Everybody gets let out now. And his charges will probably be reduced. That happens all the time, too. That's one of the most infuriating things about watching all those body cam videos I see. I see people kicking and punching police, spitting in their fucking face, calling them every goddamn name in the book. The judge sees these videos and they let him go. Signature bonds, charges dropped a big percentage of the time. What is the lesson there? They're just going to go out and do it again. They're just going to go out and do it again if there is no punishment. Okay? We have got to get tougher. I know the way the whole system works. You spend thousands for the lawyer. The courts make money in fines, blah, blah, blah. Fuck that shit. Okay? You got to start putting these people away. Just like, remember the story I did last week about the migrants in New York City all attacking the cops? Released. No bail. And now half of them have gone to California, which means they're not going to face any punishment, which means they're going to do it again. And if you were ever, in a position to teach them a lesson, and if you were ever in a position that they are in, that they're awaiting citizenship here because they're escaping of what, shithole countries or whatever, and now they come here, they want to make this one a shithole, and Alvin Bragg, that fucking idiot, just lets them all go back into the general population. Isn't that great? Okay, listen, now we got this fucking whole crime spree going on where I watch the news now in this country. Parts of this country are starting to look like Venezuela and Brazil, where people are just riding up on scooters and snatching shit out of people's fucking hands. They are turning our country into their shithole country. This is organized fucking crime. Okay, now listen, I know that it's a small percentage doing this. I know that the majority of these migrants aren't like that. Okay, but this is why we need reform, a big time reform that all of a sudden Republicans are against. But you cannot let this happen. You cannot let immigrants, you cannot let them fundamentally change the country for the worse, because in past history, they changed the country for the better. And now it's starting to happen where it's changing the country for the worse, because these percentages are growing. Okay. They see, Democrats have been wrong about this issue. Okay. And Congress, for the last, I don't know how many decades, have done nothing about it. Okay, so now we're at a tipping point here because these immigrants, migrants, whatever you want to call them, are not the same as the people that came here in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and all that. Not the same goals, not the same aspirations, organized crime units within all of them. This catch and release stuff is bullshit, Keep them outside the country until they are completely vetted. Then they can come in. Sorry, if you're on the run from a country where you fear for your life and your children's life, a couple of years in a little camp here shouldn't be that big a deal to you. But no, now we got this shit going on all over the place.
That spree, officials say, consisted of 62 robberies where the robbers are accused of sneaking up on their unsuspecting victims, mostly women, on mopeds and scooters. Fox News' Kendall Green is live in the Morris Park section of the Bronx with more. Kendall?
And this is another argument. Even if you're armed, what are you going to do? They come right out of nowhere on these fucking scooters. You don't even have time to react. And once they grab your phone or whatever and they start riding away, you can't shoot them. You can't shoot them if they're riding away. You can only use deadly force if you're in fear for your life. So no matter what they just did to you, even though they deserve it, you can't shoot them. So how do you stop this? Well, it's very difficult, which is why the countries that they're coming from are this way. Now they're bringing it here.
Hey, good evening, Steve and Natasha. Police made multiple arrests in an apparent grand larceny scheme where they target unaccompanied women, and those involved are accused of snatching their purses and their phones, all to make money, while the mastermind behind it remains on the loose tonight.
NYPD walking this duo, 20-year-old Alexander Dacre and 24-year-old Roxana Sejos, out of the 49th precinct Monday evening.
They should be imprisoned and then immediately deported. They ain't going to serve prison in their home countries. Put them in a cell here, and then when their sentence is done, then send them back. That's what should happen to these people.
They're alleged foot soldiers, part of an elaborate grand larceny scheme across the city. And in Lower Manhattan, police walked a second pair out of the first precinct, involved in the same scheme with vicious capabilities. NYPD released this video showing a victim being dragged by someone on a moped and flung into a metal beam, all to steal a cell phone.
The leader of the crew, identified as Victor Parra,
will blast out a message via WhatsApp that he is looking for phones. Power will send out specific orders for what type of phone he is looking for.
Around 5:30.
What type of phone? If they're riding up on a scooter, how the fuck could they possibly tell what type of phone the woman is holding or the person is holding? You can't tell that from a distance. What the fuck?
The NYPD executed a search warrant at the alleged ringleader's home, where they arrested five people, recovered 22 stolen phones, along with victims' IDs. But the mastermind...
See all of them. Jail, deportation.
Behind it all was nowhere to be found.
There are a total of 62 incidents that have we connected to this pattern so far, touching every borough.
See, that's way too many. I don't care what small percentage this is. That's way too many. Too many people are in trouble. That one poor woman you saw in the news, she got dragged for 10 feet across the concrete and slammed into a metal pole because she was trying to keep her purse or her phone or whatever. I mean, you know, you can't let this go on. And the only way to stop it from going on is more and stricter vetting. And that's it. You cannot let them in until they pass the entire process. If that means we got to close the border for a couple of years in order to get all these people, then do that. All this, if it goes over 5,000 a day stuff, I don't know. I mean, that's still too many, isn't it?
New York City, except Staten Island.
The fraudsters, we're told, had their eyes on the dollar signs. Police say the scooter operator could make $100 a day, and the actual phone snatchers could pocket between $300 to $600 per stolen phone.
Yeah, and from where they come from, it's worth 10 times that to them.
And the most challenging part for police is tracking down criminals with an indefinite amount of IDs, making it hard to tell who's really who.
They're essentially ghost criminals. No criminal history, no photos. No cell phone, no social media.
Now, NYPD accounts, they have reported 32 similar patterns involving mopeds and phone snatches. They account for...
Was he standing in front of a fucking foghorn?
147 cases, 147 victims. And so far, meanwhile, they're still looking for several people involved, including that ringleader. That's latest from Morris Park. Kendall Green, Fox 5 News.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Yeah, because again, these are not the same immigrants that used to come. Now they're coming here for opportunity. Now they're little organized crime cells all over the place. They're not looking for the American dream. You know, they want to steal it. You know, this is why fucking Republicans bitch about the border so much. And I mean, you see, they send all these migrants to New York and now look what's happening. So, yeah, I mean, the Democrats have fucked up on the border in the past few years. They've really fucked up. The policies are not working. And more importantly, they are irreparable. Once they're here, it is incredibly difficult to then get them out. I mean, again, they didn't find the ringleader. He's just going to find 100 more mules to do what these 100 that got arrested or however many of them, going to do the same thing. Just like drug mules, there's an endless supply if they pay them enough. All right, we'll get to more on the border in a second, but I wanted to do this story in between here about the Florida homeless problem and what they're intending to do about it, which is basically the same thing that I have been suggesting that they do with migrants, with the homeless, camps. Camps in a neutral area that does not fuck up the entire city, where they're not intermixed with regular citizens and just, you know, just bringing everything down around them. You don't want that, okay? You feel bad for the homeless, okay? And you want to take care of, number one, the ones that want to be taken care of, because a lot of them don't want to be taken care of. Well, then you're going to either have to go to a camp like Florida is suggesting here, or you're going to have to go to jail. There are no more asylums, or else I'd put you there, you know, if you were clinically mentally ill. But you have got to, they still have to make a choice. You either have to go to the camp that they're proposing here in Florida, or you go to jail, or you just keep getting, move along down the street, move along. It's a terrible existence, and I feel for them. But you can't let cities, as much as I loved and how beautiful San Francisco was, you can't let cities and big chunks of them, that Portland, you know, turn into this shit.
Speaking in Miami Beach on Monday, Governor Ron DeSantis announced a war on homelessness in the Sunshine State, endorsing bills that would prohibit overnight camping or sleeping on public property outside of designated areas.
We're not going to let any city
turn into a San Francisco. Not on our watch. We're not going to let that happen. We're going to have protection for people.
Under threat of civil action, it requires cities and counties to essentially set up homeless camps with running water, restrooms, and access to mental health services.
Okay, so what's wrong with that? Running water, bathrooms, mental health services, isn't that better than sleeping on concrete? Especially when if the weather gets bad. I mean, you know, if it rains, your whole fucking day is fucked. If it rains for 3 days, 3 days are fucked. I don't know how people in fucking, like, Seattle deal with being homeless. They're pissed on all the time with the rain. But you have got to go here if they say, listen, we're going to roof, shelter, water, you know, food, mental health services. You have got to go here. You cannot do it this way. There's too many of you, you know, and we can't handle it. This is a good idea. I've been saying this for years about the homeless. And I don't know, as much as I disagree with Ron DeSantis on most things, this I agree.
Plus restrictions on drug and alcohol use.
The last thing we need in Florida is a poop map.
See, now that's kind of stupid. I don't know, restrictions. I mean, they should be able to have a beer if they want or something. Drugs, maybe not. Illegal drugs, no. Okay, but they should be able to. Alcohol is legal. Okay, if they're a problem, then you take them to jail from there. You know, but I don't think you have to keep them completely sober. I mean, they're homeless already. Let them get a little drunk, for Christ's sake.
Like what happened in San Francisco?
Senator John Martin is carrying the upper chamber's version and sees it as a win-win. Unhoused or redirected to safe spaces and away from public parks and facilities.
I see nothing wrong with that.
We're not outlawing homelessness. It's already illegal to sleep in a public park. It's already illegal to sleep on a sidewalk. What we want to do...
Yeah, they're just taking action now. I mean, these laws have not been enforced.
...is start a process so that the cities and localities and not-for-profits and the state of Florida can work together, all of our agencies combined, to tackle this problem once and for all.
Critics have pushed back hard.
I mean, obviously, there's a better way.
Senator Lori Burke.
Well, what is that way? What is that way? Because it's not being implemented. If Democrats have a better way, then let's hear it. Oh, okay, because just like with the border, they're just letting this problem grow beyond everyone's control.
...has multiple concerns. Among them, cities and counties will have to make major investments to create those homeless camping zones.
Oh, come on. How much revenue do you lose? How much money does a small business lose because there are homeless people sleeping out in front of the restaurant? You know what I mean? I mean, again, I'm sympathetic to the homeless. But, yeah, you say, okay, you're homeless. You got to go over here. Otherwise, you're going to jail. Those are your two choices. You know, I would take the camps if I was them. I don't know. I mean... Sneak the beer in, whatever. That'd be my only problem.
Tax dollars to make them happen. And beyond that, she thinks the bill's language is just too vague.
What happens to homeless people? Are they subject to being arrested? Are they becoming...
Well, if they don't go to the camp, then yeah. I mean, either that or they move along. You know, I mean, and again... That's just a merry-go-round right there. You keep moving. You're going to go from one restaurant to in front of another museum or in front of an art gallery, in front of another hotel, in front of another. You know, we have got to acknowledge and try and extinguish this problem while at the same time maintaining societal propriety. It's got to be a proper society. You don't want, people don't want to be stepping over the homeless. You know, I mean, it makes them feel bad. Some people can't even afford to help the homeless. You know, I mean, I always did, even if I didn't have a lot of money, because I really felt bad for them. But again, just like with the migration shit, enough. You have got to do something different. This way, the way it's been going is not working. So don't sit there and say the language is vague. Blah, blah. They're doing something. I mean, you know, you can't go on this way.
Criminals under this bill? We asked that question. We didn't really get an answer.
Well, the answer is no. If you go to the camp, you're not going to be a criminal. Food, shelter, water, bathrooms, and mental health services. What the fuck more do you want?
Current versions don't include penalties for unhoused who break the rules, though local governments might be encouraged to create some if this bill becomes law, which
yeah, you better.
is looking more and more likely. Now, the governor also mentioned that he'd back financial support for cities and counties in creating some of these camping zones, and that might take some of the sting out of the idea for...
See, now, they should pay for all of them.
...critics who continue to have issues with this policy as it moves forward. That's the latest out here at the state capitol. I'm Forrest Saunders reporting.
Well, like I said before about DeSantis, you know...
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. You're right, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, you can't let it turn into a San Francisco like that. I mean, I've seen those images. That is ridiculous. You can't let a city turn into that. I mean, I know every city has the poor sections or the ghettos or whatever, but Jesus Christ, this shit is starting to get all over the place. All over the place. Keep him in one section, and to tell you the truth, that's how all of it should be. We have clearly demonstrated that we cannot live in an integrated society, you know, with all the racism and all the hate crimes. How about every city just throwing this out there, haven't really thought it through that much, just a foundational thought. You know, every city, you got it's like a pinwheel, like a wheel with spokes, in the center. You got all your government buildings, all your business, all your downtown, and everybody can mix and be diverse and sing kumbaya. Outside of that, you've got pinwheels that go to the... You got your black section, you got your white section, you got your Hispanic section, you got your Asian section, you got your Muslim section, and I'm talking everything in there run by them. Every employee, every manager at Walmart, black. Every... postal worker, every black in each section. Everyone in this section, they're all white. In this section, they're all Hispanic. This way, you start to get some more, share some of that generational wealth. That white people have a lock on. All right. That's what, I mean, I've heard black people make this argument all the time. Remember in Boys in the Hood, Furious Styles? We need to keep everything in our neighborhood black, black dollars, black profits, black everything. And that's fine by me, and you go down and you fuck with the other sections and you go to jail, you get your head smashed in. I sound like Archie Bunker. They're all free to live in their separate sections and they bust your head if you go in there. Well, that's not a bad idea at this point. If you, like I said, if you want to be diverse and included with it, but if you want to stay with your own and pump your dollars into to the benefit of your own kind or your own race or your own religion, I don't think there should be anything wrong with that. I mean, bottom line, folks, everybody feels more comfortable around their own. Everybody. Every race, every religion, everybody feels more. You'll venture out. And then go over here and go over there, and mix and learn about this culture and that culture. But, as far as where you live and pretty much your life, you want to be around. Everybody wants to be around their own. Or else we wouldn't have Little Italy's or Harlem's or Little Havana's or Chinatown's or any of that shit. I mean, that's basically what I'm saying. They pretty much do it anyway. Just make it crystal clear. And then you can see who runs it the best. Hey, let's see who comes up with the best fucking system. Who runs their little spoke the best? you know what I mean? And then I'm sure the others will steal the ideas from the others when they see it working. And then we can truly sing kumbaya. And again, I wouldn't even suggest this shit if evidence didn't show, and it clearly shows, that we cannot live together. It's just, there's just too much tension, too much everything. It's just too much. And a huge faction of this country will never accept it. So that's why these problems are going to keep going. All these hate crimes, all this racism, all this everything. If we did it the pinwheel way, the spoke way, might be better. Think about it. All right, now back to the I just want to throw that in there, that whole Florida thing, because I thought it was important. I always talk about it. Maybe I should have done that story earlier. But anyway, back to the border and this whole thing with Mayorkas. Now, I don't sit here and say Republicans are completely wrong by accusing Mayorkas of being derelict in his duties as far as securing the border. I mean, I know they say more people have been incarcerated and deported under Biden. Oh, that's because he's let more people in. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, one goes along with the other usually, if you're doing things the right way. But to want to impeach the guy as you simultaneously are trying to kill a border deal that you have been negotiating for months, that will be the most significant piece of immigration reform legislation in decades, and you don't do it because Trump told you not to, that's shit. All right, that's complete bullshit. All right, that's party over country. That's Trump over party. But then again, there is no real Republican Party anymore as long as Trump's there. It's the Trump Party. And he's got the whole cult behind him, so their hands are tied there because they're all spineless jellyfish and didn't kill this shit when they could have, right? McConnell? Anyway, I do think it's funny that Biden is now saying that, you know, the border problem is now Republicans' fault because they won't pass this bill. Well, now they're hypocritical assholes, and it's proving their, their real intentions about that. But no, the border and the immigration problem is the Democrats' fault, your fault, okay? And you've realized that it was a mistake to do it the way you did it. And you're looking for an out, and I totally understand that. It's another thing I said a couple months ago, Biden should take this deal. It'll get aid to Ukraine. It'll get him out of the hot seat. It'll say, see, Republicans, I'm willing to work. And now, I'll tell you, another stroke of genius here. Now that they're going to kill the bill, he's considering executive orders to shut down the border. That will make Republicans look so stupid. Not only do they kill the bill because of Trump, but then Biden is the one who single-handedly signs an executive order to try and fix this problem, you know, before the election. And it's a stroke of genius if he doesn't. I think so anyway. It's a way out. You know, he's calling their bluffs because they don't want to do anything. They can't do anything. They don't know how to legislate anymore. All they know how to do is be opposition and blow dog whistles and run on controversial things. If those controversial things are solved, they have nothing left to run on because they cannot legislate. Democrats, for better or worse, okay, these days have passed major legislation. Biden, major legislation. At least a half a dozen kick-ass bills that Republicans are now taking credit for when they voted against it. Because their only instinct is that whatever Democrats come up with, we have to shut it down. Doesn't matter if it's good for our state, our district, our country. Doesn't matter. Got to shut it down. Can't give them any credit, or else we won't be in power again. It's not about the country. It's about them. It's what this whole Trump thing is all about, because he exemplifies individual over country. But anyway, they got egg on their face anyway, because the Mayorkas impeachment, the vote failed.
More than 1,000 miles from the southern border, where thousands more migrants sought to cross on Monday, House Republicans tried but failed to remove Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas from office.
Literally, his job is to secure the homeland. And he's
and your job is to govern and legislate and not just blow dog whistles and gaslight, asshole.
Refusing to do it.
They accused Mayorkas of failing to enforce immigration law and breaching the nation's trust.
Is this really a high crime or misdemeanor?
Well, I think, number one, I think I'm sick and tired of his lying.
Democrats blasted the vote.
They're tired of lying as they support Trump. They hate liars. They also hate people who call you names, you know. They also hate people with crazy fucking hair and orange skin. I don't get it.
It's an election year political ploy over a policy dispute to please Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I would say it's a clown show, but that would be a disservice to actual working clowns.
The impeachment would have stood no chance in the Democratic-controlled Senate, which would have blocked holding a trial, but it further inflamed a gridlocked Congress.
What the hell just happened?
On the same day, a bipartisan bill to tighten border security and fund Ukraine was collapsing.
Uh-huh. And they were all in support of it, just like they all blamed Trump for January 6th at first, and then said, oh, no, you know what, after the cult got to us. we don't believe that anymore.
The $118 billion plan limits who qualifies for asylum, hires more border agents, and allows the administration to nearly shutter the border when migrant crossings spike.
Yeah, see, that's the only part I disagree with on the bill. Everything else sounded good. I would have put a little bit more money into it, considering it's 20 for the border and 60 for Ukraine. But I would have, 5,000 a day is still too much. That's the one thing I could see Republicans would bitch about. One little thing. But everything else, they pretty much got their way. And again, the biggest piece of reform in decades. Nope, not good. No. I said to kill it, and that's it. They'll kill it because they all just fucking lick his balls.
Despite an endorsement from a National Border Patrol union, the bill, filled with Republican priorities, hemorrhaged Republican support today.
This is a Republican organization, the immigration folks, and they're all like, yeah, come on, what are you guys doing? No, can't give Biden a victory. It's all about them, not the country, not the border.
President Biden said Republicans were caving to appease the former president.
Mm-hmm. It's time for Republicans in the Congress to show a little courage, to show a little spine.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Bunch of fucking assholes!
Yeah, that's all there is to it. So, oh my God. It's like they don't even know the word hypocrisy. They don't know the definition. And they also pretend that Trump doesn't exist. Well, they sit there and try and uphold all these other morals about name-calling and lying and things like that while they support Trump. It's like we're the same Reagan Republicans, but we're still with this guy here that does everything against what a Reagan Republican believes. No, fuck them. And these are the same fucking idiots that get mad that people worship Taylor Swift. Well, look who you fucking worship. At least she's talented. I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I don't like the music too much. But what has Trump ever done besides con people? Yeah, well, they don't know they're being conned. So that's another thing. They just pretend doesn't exist. Even if they do realize it, they pretend it doesn't exist. Their reality is what they want to be real in their heads, in their fucked up, dumbass, empty heads. You know, which I am inclined to use that term towards Fonnie Willis at this fucking point. This stupid bitch. You see, here we go. Democrats, hearts are always in the right place. Good ideas. Execution of the three fucking stooges. How on earth do you bring the biggest suit that there's ever been, anything like it, against a president, blah, blah, and engage in any type of improprieties at all, especially ones that have to do with the case. I personally don't care who she's sleeping with, and who she's fucking shouldn't matter as far as the prosecution. But just to do it, just to sit there and go, you're about to, I don't know, what are you about to do? You're about to grab the guy's dick? Go, you know what? Okay, what I'm involved in here, probably not a good idea to start fucking the lead prosecutor and paying him a whole bunch of money. This,
you fucking cunt.
Yeah.
Tonight, after weeks of mounting questions, Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis acknowledging a romantic relationship with a special prosecutor she hired to lead her case against Donald Trump.
People who can't control their sexual urges when what's at stake, if this all goes south. Dumbest of the fucking dumb. The chick sounds very intelligent. He seems like a very capable lawyer. This is almost like the Ben Carson thing. He's a brain surgeon, but he's a dumb fuck. I don't know. She seems to be a good prosecutor, but she's obviously a dumb fuck taking this goddamn chance. Why risk it? What's the matter with you?
But in a new court filing, Willis insists her relationship with that prosecutor, Nathan Wade, does not amount to a disqualifying conflict of interest.
And you know what? She's right, but it doesn't matter. The perception, what it looks like, this just bolsters the whole thing that all Democrats are corrupt and doing shit behind the scenes and blah, blah, with the money and blah, blah, to put Trump away, even though they're morally bankrupt themselves. This bolsters that whole fucking argument, you goddamn idiot.
Requiring her to recuse herself. Trump and two of his co-defendants have accused Willis of improperly benefiting from hiring Wade, who has been paid $650,000 over 2 years.
The district attorney is totally compromised. The case has to be dropped.
Now that's bullshit. Compromised as far as prosecuting no, she isn't. Okay, again, this has nothing to do with the prosecution against Trump. All right, but it is impropriety. And the last thing you want when you're bringing a case against the fucking elephant you're trying to bag is impropriety.
Last month, Willis suggested Wade was only under scrutiny because he's black.
And then she plays the race card because he's black. So I suppose if you were sleeping with a white dude or an Asian dude or a Hispanic dude, that nobody would have pounced otherwise just because he's black. Now, you know, this chick's getting dumber by the minute in my fucking mind.
The counsel is my right to do. Paid them all the same hourly rate. They only attack one.
But at the time...
Okay, well, you only fucked one. Oh, what the... Gee, way to notice the glaring difference there.
Willis did not acknowledge their romance. Today she did. Her court filing included an affidavit from Wade confirming they developed a person.
Yeah, because that's another thing Democrats do is they try and fucking keep things squashed until it's impossible to squash it anymore. If you would just come out and be honest from the beginning, you'd avoid a lot of these problems. Again, the Hillary Clinton syndrome.
A relationship in 2022 after he was hired. Trump and his two co-defendants claim Willis benefited from the money her office paid Wade, saying he had taken her on lavish vacations. But today, Wade insisting the district attorney received...
And again, what does that have to do with Trump's case?
...received no funds or personal financial gain from my position as special prosecutor.
The big question, what happens if the district attorney is somehow disqualified?
Uh-huh.
Well, a state prosecutor's agency would likely assign the case to a different DA who may or may not go forward. So far, there's no sense that's going to happen, and no sign Fani Willis will recuse herself on her own.
Well, you know, it certainly has affected her credibility a little bit. You know, that's just, again, perception is reality, and I just don't understand. You see, again, folks, Trump is just one of those guys where everything falls into place for him. Things you wouldn't even conceive of. Who thought that in this big case where he called the Secretary of State and said, find me all these votes and threatened him with prison backhandedly, of course, that all of a sudden the prosecutor that is, see, look what you did. We gotcha. We would start fucking somebody on the prosecutor's team and jeopardize this case. I can't believe it. I mean, it's like he's got an actual guardian fucking angel over his stupid ass. I don't get it, man. Oh, God. And if he does have a guardian angel.
Stop! What are you doing?
Yeah, who are you protecting? What the fuck, man? He's going to get away with everything. And so are all of his cohorts. And so are all of the maniacs that stormed the Capitol. They'll serve a couple years at most. 3 years at most, and you know, they're all going to get away with everything. Everybody who pleaded, Sidney Powell, all of them, you can't say, well, we didn't bag Trump, so now your original charges are reinstated. No, they already cooperated with you. Everyone is going to get away with everything if he wins. And, you know, Biden, as good as the economy is turning around, number one, again, perception is reality. They don't believe it. They still think eggs are $8 a carton. I'm like, oh, you fuckers seem to be living in 2021 or something like that. The shit has turned around big time. Okay, whether he can get it enough, I don't know. Plus, he's still an old man. I mean, as much as they're both in almost the same age, Trump's only 4 years younger, he's much more spry. Okay, yeah, I know. They both have cognitive fuck-ups. Again, Biden fucked up the other day with the French president. I thought he was a different president. Confused Angela Merkel with somebody else in Germany. They're both fucked up. But Trump is more there than Biden is. And he's 4 years younger. And people already hate Kamala Harris. So they're not going to want a President Harris if he dies. They're going to get away with everything. They're going to get away with everything. Even with this case, you know, big bombshell, you know, Trump is not immune. Well, everybody knew that was going to happen, number one. But number two, it won't matter. He's going to appeal, and it's going to be delayed. All these trials are being delayed. As soon as he wins, they all go away. And the thought of part two of this presidency, oh, my Lord.
Tonight, in a scathing opinion, a federal appeals court rejecting Donald Trump's claims he has complete immunity from prosecution.
Yeah, they probably laugh under their breath with these arguments. You know, the one lawyer made an argument, you know, the judge can assassinate a political rival. You know, well, if he's impeached and convicted, Trump's lawyer says. So if he's not, so if he's got control of the House and the Senate, or he just resigns, then he could assassinate his political opponent. So by that argument, Biden could order the assassination of Trump right now, couldn't he? Because if he's got control of the Senate, you know, the House may impeach him, but the Senate, if they acquitted him, if they all went down party lines, he'd be able to have Trump killed. So go ahead and do it, if that's what his argument is. I mean, because if Trump wins the argument, that's what I'd do if I was Biden. Fuck.
For anything he did as president, including his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. The three-judge panel unanimously ruling, former President Trump has become Citizen Trump Any executive immunity that may have protected him while he served as president no longer protects him against this prosecution. Hmm. We cannot accept that the office of the presidency places its former occupants above the law for all time thereafter.
Yeah, because that's what he's saying. He's saying he's above the law. Now you have to have immunity. You have to have it, or else everybody will be prosecuted. No, not everybody, because they've never been prosecuted before. Just you for this shit. You know that you're the only one who does this shit. So you're the only one who would be in jeopardy.
Trump claims he cannot be tried for trying to overturn the election and his actions leading up to January 6th.
The president has to have immunity.
You are physically repulsive, intellectually retarded, vulgar, insensitive, selfish, stupid. You have no taste, a lousy sense of humor, and you smell.
with the exception of him smelling, because I don't know what he smells like, everything else in that statement's fucking accurate.
In January, the judge is deeply skeptical, asking if a president could order the assassination of his opponent and get away with it.
Yeah.
Trump's lawyer arguing a president can't be charged unless he is first impeached and convicted by Congress.
So there you go, Biden, order the assassination.
The president who ordered...
And then that will take... And if Biden is convicted of doing that, then that'll take him away too. They'll both be gone. Hey, it's a win-win for everybody. I hope he does it.
Steel Team 6 to assassinate a political rival who was not impeached. Would he be subject to criminal prosecution?
If he were impeached and convicted first.
Yeah. Otherwise, he'd get away with it. Can you believe this argument? Because many presidents control both chambers of the House for at least 2 years in a lot of their presidencies. Obama had it that way. Trump had it that way. Biden had it that way. So you can do whatever you want. What kind of idiot buys this shit?
So your answer is no.
Today,
no.
The court was blunt. We cannot accept former President Trump's claim that the president has unbounded authority to commit crimes.
Yeah.
The judges also...
Who would come up with such a thing? Unbounded authority to commit crimes?
Taking aim at the serious nature of the charges Trump faces, writing former President Trump's alleged efforts to remain in power despite losing the 2020 election were, if proven, an unprecedented assault on the structure of our government.
And I don't know how that's not insurrection. See, that's where Jack Smith fucked up. Should have charged him with insurrection. That's exactly what it was. I mean, forget about January 6th. All the shit he did, like with Raffensperger, and what he tried to do in Arizona and everywhere else. Come on, man.
Trump has until Monday to appeal to the Supreme Court. If the High Court declines the appeal, the judge overseeing the case could set a new trial date soon. But if the Supreme Court decides to consider the matter, all bets are off. There could be lengthy delays.
Yeah, and they fucking better not. I swear to God, because this is not... They argued this case just fine. This does not need to go to the fucking Supreme Court. It's clear what his tactic is to delay it beyond the election once again. So fuck that.
You motherfucker, you.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So anyway, I watched the Grammys the other night. I don't know why, because, I mean... if someone doesn't like the particular type of music that is popular these days, for the most part, not really worth watching. It's not like the Oscars. I mean, because it's all musical performances. I think they gave away like 10 awards, you know, the whole night on TV. But that's the thing about the Grammys is you want to hear the songs, you want to hear them perform. It's not like the Oscars can't have people come up and act out their scenes, you know, in front of everybody. So you got to fill a lot more shit. But with the Grammys, you can have musical performances. But I'll tell you. You know, they always talk about the Oscars. Oscars so white. Holy shit. Grammys. How about Grammys so black? Or Grammys so feminine? There was hardly... Billy Joel, I think, was the only white man recognized the whole night. I'm just looking for a little consistency here, okay? I know that the best players play, and this is the music that dominates the culture for whatever fucking reason. But still, when it goes the other way, it's like, well, where's the diversity? You know, why? How come it's all that? There's got to be something wrong with that. So again, just looking for a little consistency here. You know, I didn't even take any notes this time, just off my memory of Miley Cyrus. I mean, that chick has a hell of a body, okay? But with that hair the other night, she looked like Maleficent. And I don't know, she... I'm not wearing any underwear. She made some kind of fucking comment that she wasn't wearing underwear. I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do with it? What are you, stupid? I'm not wearing any underwear. Who cares?
And I remember, you know, I was one of those people that thought Taylor Swift should have acknowledged Celine Dion. Celine Dion came out. I thought she was bedridden at this point. You know, she looked good. She was, I guess this isn't a fatal disease and it like comes and goes or whatever, which very nerve wracking if you ask me, especially if you're going to do something like this. But she came out, got a standing ovation. And, you know, Taylor just kind of grabbed the statue from her and started talking. She thanked everybody on that stage that was standing up there except for Celine Dion. I'm like, man, can you give her a little bit here? I mean, she had a rough ride, and she's one of the icons of singing. I mean, she certainly sings better than Taylor Swift. But I don't know. Then they took the picture backstage, and Celine Dion's not going to make a big deal out of it. She's got a lot bigger problems. But I don't know. I thought she should have said something, you know, just a little something. And then the fucking Jay-Z has got to come up and complain. Everybody's got to complain at some year that Beyonce should win Album of the Year. Isn't that why fucking Kanye interrupted Taylor Swift a bunch of years ago? You know, and all that shit. Listen. You know, just because you have the most Grammys ever doesn't mean that you should get Album of the Year. And, you know, it's weird. Album of the Year, Record of the Year. You know, there's all different ways they judge this shit by production and, you know, an entire album and stuff. It's totally possible that you could have a whole bunch of Grammys and not have one good complete album. And Beyonce, her career has mostly been about singles. You know, so I don't know. Everybody's always bitching about Beyonce. I know that's his wife and everything. It's funny. Album of the Year. How about that one song where she said at the very end, "You're going to lose your wife," because she fucking ripped on him. That's one of the reasons I don't like rap. All these personal battles that come out in their fucking songs. And that's the one thing I don't like about Taylor Swift. You know, about every time she breaks up with someone, she's got to write a song about him. I don't know. It's like wrestling shit to me. I don't know. I thought the performance by Joni Mitchell, after what she's fucking been through to go up there, and she sounded damn good, too. She's like, what, 80 years old or something? And now, of course, someone has found a picture of Joni Mitchell in blackface from 30 years ago. This society is so fucking pathetic. You know, the first time she ever performs, that's what you come up with, huh? But anyway, it was a great performance. And then there was that whole Fast Car thing. I couldn't stand that song when it came out, and I still can't stand it. You get a fast car, and drive where I live in the suburbs. It's so repetitive, and I never liked it then. I don't like it now. So, and Trevor Noah is so obnoxious. You know, I'm so glad he's off the Daily Show, and I don't know why he didn't host the Oscars last year or something like that. Why they keep picking this guy to host the fucking shows? You know, I don't know. He just gets on my nerves. Not funny at all. And of course, Metallica won the best metal performance. No, that album stinks. Every album they've come up with have stunk since the Black Album. I mean, I like the Black Album, even though it was a little different from what they had done before. Black Album is still true to Metallica. Everything after that's been shit. I saw yet another article the other day about a guy who worked with one of the producers from one of the Metallica albums or something. I think he was a producer, but again, Lars cannot keep time. He cannot keep time as a drummer, you know? He tried to be a professional tennis player, and then he started ripping off riffs from all the metal bands over in Europe and... you know, packaged it into Metallica. Hey, good move and everything like that. But a shitty drummer and, you know, didn't come up with a lot of that stuff. And then, you know, it was hilarious. Bill Maher did a new rules on music, the music industry and materialism, which I could not agree more with. Just listen to what he says. And you just see the fundamental shift in what... you know, the lyrics have always been very important to me. You know, that's where they reach into your soul. The music grabs you and everything like that. But when you really connect with those lyrics, man, you know, that's why I disagree with Maynard. And he's like, yeah, lyrics aren't that important. Otherwise, people would be doing spoken word tours. Well, yeah, they're both important. But when the lyrics fucking just cement, you know, a great musical tune, it just makes it twice as good. But I don't know, lyrics these days, like I said before, the personal wars, and like Bill Maher's going to talk about here, everything, all the brand name shit, Fendi and Gucci and blah, 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 it's just gotten so stupid.
And finally, New rule, if you want to know why your kids are so bratty, entitled, and always asking for your credit card, check their Spotify playlists. Because the messages they're hearing are...
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Bill Maher is really doing that a lot lately with the fucking lip smacking. You know, check out their playlist. Before he starts the next sentence, he goes, listen to that. Let me play it again.
Check their Spotify playlists. Because...
I mean, you're going to hear that multiple times throughout this. Clay's getting really bad at it.
Messages they're hearing are a full 180 from what kids used to hear when they turned on the radio. Sinead O'Connor will be in the in memoriam reel at the Grammys this Sunday, and it would be great if they quoted what she said when she once pulled out of the show in protest. She said, there is an emphasis in pop music on materialism, and it's not right to give people the message that they can fill their emptiness with material things.
Yeah.
How about this year? For a new Grammy category. Best song where no one brags about buying a lot of shit.
There you go.
And before 1990, there were like two songs ever that glorified money. Money, that's what I want. And Material Girl.
Yeah, you know, I heard Material Girl on the radio the other day when I was in my garage, I kept looking at the radio like, what a fucking stupid bitch with these lyrics. You're listening to, you're not going to give a guy the time of day unless he can give you a bunch of diamonds or whatever. I can't stand Madonna anymore. Plus, she looks like a lizard.
Well, here's a short sampling of some more recent offerings.
Yeah, and he does the crawl, the credits of all the songs that have money in the title, you know, about money. And there's a lot of them.
And that's just the ones that have money in the title.
Yeah.
Why does this matter? Because nothing molds teenage hearts and minds like music and music culture. Mm-hmm. This is true across generations. When you turn 12, you're done with your parents and start getting raised by pop stars.
Yep.
The older people have the money and the power, but kids rule the charts. And the lyrics of your youth are burned into your brain like that time you saw your father getting out of the shower.
That was frightening.
I don't remember a lot from eighth grade. Don't get me on the formula for the radius of a circle. But if you asked me to finish the lyric, all you need is, I'm pretty sure I could come up with love.
But yeah, now it's bitches and money.
If I asked a kid today to finish that lyric, what would they say? I'm not sure, but I know what their heroes say. They say things like, diamonds on my neck, I like boarding jets, but nothing in this world that I like more than checks. And sure, it started...
How do you... See, that type of shit, I don't know. How do you, like, worship that? How do you sit there and really feel for the music when all they're talking about is getting paid?
In rap, but everybody does it now. Damn, I love the Jag, the Jet, and the Mansion. Even country music has songs like Rolex on a Redneck.
Oh, God. Like a silk hat on a pig.
The band Florida Georgia Line has one about how pimpy their truck is.
Of course they do.
I don't know, but maybe this kind of unbridled lusting for material things is actually the kind of grooming parents should be worried about. We went from, so we don't have a pot, but at least I'm sure of all the things we got, to, I want to be a billionaire so fucking bad.
Yeah, went from Sonny and Cher to Bruno Mars.
Kids blame my generation for ruining the planet, but good luck saving it, kids, if this is what you're always dreaming about. Always hearing a drumbeat that happiness results from getting things. Things that a vast majority don't have.
Yeah.
The pop stars of my youth, their message to me was that what made them happy was available to me too. Even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. Yeah.
Dan Fogelberg.
I don't need no money. I've got all the riches, baby. One man can claim. Can't buy me love. You don't have to worry if you got no money. People on the river are happy to give. The Monkees sang, Our good times start and end without dollar one to spend. But how much, baby, do we really need? Kanye says, Lamborghini, mercy, your chick, she's so thirsty. I'm in that two-seat Lambo with your girl. She's trying to jerk me.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the guy who compares himself to Disney and, you know, Walt Disney and Steve Jobs and Pablo Picasso. Yeah, listen to that art right there. Fuck that.
To which the monkey said, it was more of a rhetorical question. John Lennon said, imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. And 10,000 rappers said, we can't and we don't want to. And you know what?
I wouldn't want to have no possessions either. I mean,
you know what? I don't blame them. I get where this comes from. There is a racial element to this. Suburban white hippie kids had the luxury of being anti-materialistic because they were never denied material things in the first place.
Yeah.
There's a reason Jimmy Buffett didn't sing about bling. He was already eating a cheeseburger in paradise.
And he turned out to be a multi-billionaire.
But the history of black people in America is the history of being denied the means and often even the right to buy stuff, including a home in the neighborhood you might want to live in. So when the long...
See, we created this problem with black defiance and wanting to fuck up everything white and the system and everything. If we would have just let them be, you know, and all that shit, they'd be like they acted, you know, in the 60s, in the early 60s, in the 50s. They were fine. You know, they were fine. You know, you systematically abuse a race for so long now. I know you got to judge the individual, these, you know, in the moment and everything like that. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying I understand it.
Denied finally becomes available, there's going to be some flaunting. If you were excluded from luxury and then finally got it, you wouldn't want to shut up about it either. But forever? And not just in rap. Everybody does it.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't brag about it. If I won the Powerball tomorrow and had like $300 million, I wouldn't go around talking about how great my stuff is. You know, I'd show my relatives my house once. Hey, here's the bedroom, here's the kitchen. Yeah, this is nice over here. Got this imported from here. And it'd be the end of it. You know, you'll walk around talking about how you got shit all the time. Versace, Fendi, Jimmy Choo, Prada, Dolce & Gabbana,
Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Givenchy, Chanel.
Yeah, that reminds me of my father. You know, my father used to say, so I remember one time, I mean, he said this all the time, but I remember one time when I saw it in person, you know, some guy, a friend of his, was making fun of the shirt he was wearing or something like that. And my dad looks at him and goes, well, it ain't the clothes that makes the man, and you're living proof. And I always love that because, you know, fashion. Well, what the fuck is that? Unless you're a woman or a model or something like that. Men with the fashion and shit. I don't get it. I mean, because I'm a blue collar guy. It never really mattered to me. I don't know why it would matter to anybody. How it would make you a better person or a man because of the clothes you wear. Again, it comes back to how you think. That's how people should be judged. How they think, no matter what they have.
And if you and if your answer to that is okay, boomer. That's not an answer. And vomiting an inventory of your possessions doesn't make you a poet. And
there you go.
And it's been done to death. Aren't you tired of it? I'm old. This shit is old.
He's really starting to feel his age now, it sounds like.
Get a second idea for a song. Well, actually, there is one. Sadness. Maybe they're connected. Yeah, Spotify actually has data on the types of songs the kids like, and it shows that Gen Z's number one search last summer was sad. Artists like Billie Eilish and Demi Lovato have pioneered a whole new genre called sad bops. A good beat, you can dance to it, and then you want to slit your throat.
That Demi Lovato needs help. I mean, serious professional help. That is one chick who is mentally ill.
I'm just saying maybe they're connected. The good news is I've seen the music industry clean up its act before. Not with sexual assault. They're still doing that. But But at least with the message of the music, which for quite a long time was dominated with tearjerkers like slob on my knob, like corn on the cob. Bitches ain't shit, but hoes and tricks. And slut, you think I won't choke no whore? It was ugly. Ugly. Very.
How is that? How does anybody identify with that unless you're one of those maniacs?
Sexist and very homophobic. There was iced tea and ice cube, but no ice capades. And we were okay with it until we weren't. And maybe it's time now. It's not to be okay with teaching kids you're only as good as how much stuff you have. All right, that's
there
our show.
There you go, man. Hey, like I said, the new rules always usually hit it right on the head. It is terrible. It changes your brain chemistry when you're sitting there wanting to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, you know, because that's what it's all about. Because if you were on a desert island somewhere, you wouldn't give a shit if you're fucking had a Gucci watch or whatever. So I don't know. I know that's an extreme example. The point is, again, the possessions, the materials, like my dad said, the clothes don't make the man or the person. And quite often, the people who flaunt that shit are stupid because they have nothing else to their character, nothing they can't buy. Their whole character is bought. Doesn't come from within. All right, folks, we've come to the end of it. Yeah, hey, speaking of buying things, guess what I get to buy again pretty soon? My guns. The most restrictive gun state in the nation, Illinois, has determined that they ruled in my favor. I'm getting my FOID card back, firearm owner's identification card, firearm owner's ID. In Illinois, what you need to buy or do anything, you know, as far as guns, they're giving it back to me, you know, so I mean, I'm documented mentally ill. I spent a weekend in a psych ward. I spent another weekend in a psych ward 30 years before that, you know, but I don't know. I've been making progress in my therapy and shit. Both my doctors signed off on it. Around here, you know, a lot of people are very pro Second Amendment where I live, but I'm not going to do them wrong. You know, like I say, my guns will just sit there and collect dust unless somebody breaks in. Only time I would ever use them outside of the range. You know, in their infinite wisdom, the most restrictive gun state in the nation is giving me my guns back. So, there you go. Anyway, I figured it'd be appropriate to go out with one of my favorite artists, Jimi Hendrix. And why not Hey Joe, which talks about him shooting his wife. I'm going to shoot my old lady. Which you wouldn't even be able to release that today. Nobody would be behind a song talking about shooting your old lady. the times have changed, you know. But, you know, there are so many guns out there now that someone like me, especially as I'm getting older, going to need them. Don't want them. Going to need them because of what, you know, it's been flooded into society. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to be the only one without one. So thanks to that, now I have to get more. Anyway. All right, Hendrix, Hey Joe, we'll see you next week, folks. Later.
The fuck was that you were listening to?